This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Some more amazing guests coming your way. But first, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Also want to take time to, before we get underway here in hour two, recognize our latest affiliate, The Roar, out of Clemson, South Carolina, 105.5 and 97.5 FM. So glad they are carrying so many of our programs. And always thrilled to have them with me here helping me out in hour two, and that is Jack McCraw. And Jack, provide some, I don't know, shed some light on what's going on in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers explains his decision to not get vaccinated. Just what's your perception overall?
I mean, I'm not going to judge somebody for not getting vaccinated. I think that's up to their own discretion, and they do their own research and make that decision. But I think people are more upset with Aaron Rodgers for the dialogue that he used, where he said he's immunized, which he is telling the truth that he's not vaccinated, he's immunized, but people feel deceived by Aaron Rodgers, and that's why I think he's getting this sort of backlash. He's already been fined by the NFL, you know, catching the coronavirus and missing a game, and it clearly hurt the Packers too, because Jordan Love didn't play all that great last week against Kansas City Chiefs. So I think it goes to show that this is just one more distraction for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, who, you know, might not want him after this season.
I was going to ask you, what did you think of Jordan Love's debut?
Not good. I mean, it's one start, so I'm not going to say the world is ending, the sky is falling for Green Bay if Aaron Rodgers leaves, but certainly not a very memorable start for Jordan Love in the Green Bay uniform.
Well, it was interesting. You know, we had John Avello on here in hour one and just, you know, really talked about just how Aaron Rodgers misled about his status and, you know, perhaps what is the NFL giving him a pass. We'll just have to see how this continues to play out. Hey, I want to talk to you about, just quickly, give me a hit on the Dolphins. Is he the quarterback of the future for this franchise?
I don't think so. In the 2 years that I've seen, he's very injury prone. It seems like he has been right since that hip fracture that he suffered in Alabama. I think that the Dolphins might move on to Deshaun Watson in the offseason or a different quarterback. I think Tua could be a backup, but I don't think he's their guy anymore.
NFL news and notes, but right now we're going to shift gears. Coming up, Hudson Mason, college football analyst, after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome in on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. Always love to connect with our audience and our listeners live on Twitter at E Radio Sports. And hard to believe we are already in the home stretch of the 2021 college football season, only 3 weeks left, and teams are positioning themselves for strong finishes. A lot is on the line. And we are delighted to have back with us, that is the former quarterback at the University of Georgia. Oh, by the way, the number one team in the country. And he is now ESPN's college football analyst. You can check him out on the weekends, and that is Hudson Mason. Good morning, Hudson.
Morning. How are you?
It is game day, and always ready to hit the gridiron. So another big weekend. What do you think is the biggest storyline, though, here in college football's week 11?
Oh, man, just one, huh? I only get to pick one. yeah, man, that's a good question.
Pick a conference.
Pick a storyline left. I think it's, will the Big Ten cannibalize each other? You know, you look at you look at Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State. And they all, I think, play each other in the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks of the season. You look at Ohio State's schedule, Michigan State's schedule. I mean, they got some tough games. I think all of them play two out of three last week. They play ranked opponents. So I'm sitting there and I'm kind of wondering, you know, will there be a Big Ten team left standing at the end of this in the college football playoffs? So Could they get two teams in? Will they get one team in? Will they get zero? Will they all kind of cannibalize each other? So, obviously, you know, Michigan State's still alive, Ohio State's still alive, and Michigan's still alive. So, I think that's a really interesting storyline as we near the home stretch.
So, Hudson, I mean, what were your takeaways from the second edition of the college football rankings? Your guys, your Bulldogs are on top, but what about the other three teams? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it played out kind of how I expected. I knew, obviously, knew all that Georgia would be one. I didn't expect Alabama to get moved, even though they didn't play great against LSU. And then 3, 4, 5, Oregon had the head-to-head win over Ohio State, so that order didn't surprise me, with Oregon at 3, Ohio State at 4, and then, you know, Cincinnati at 5. I think, again, it just proves that Cincinnati's going to need some help, and they're not as far out of this thing as I think some people on social media make it out to be. You know, I wouldn't even say that I think they have a greater chance of making it this year, given the lack of strength of teams outside of Georgia. I think Cincinnati's still alive. And I think there's still more than a 50% chance that they could be in the college football playoff. They need a little help. There's no doubt about it. Pulling for Georgia. I don't think they get in if two SEC teams get in. You know, and then I think they need the Big Ten teams, like I just mentioned, to kind of cannibalize each other and maybe offer one of those teams in the Big Ten to have, you know, two losses. So, anyways, I think that was kind of my takeaway. And then obviously the whole Michigan State. I mean, I thought that was I think they got that wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you have Michigan ahead of Michigan State when Michigan State just beat them head-to-head a couple weeks ago?
College football analyst, ESPN. You can also listen to him in Atlanta, Georgia on 680 The Fan. That is Hudson Mason. Give him a follow on Twitter, at HMason14. Okay, so when we talk about and dissect the top four in the second college football playoff rankings, how vulnerable does Alabama look? You had mentioned the game against LSU last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think they're more beatable than they've been in the past couple years. They're a good team. I stand by kind of that. I think they're still a good team. I still think they're the second best team in college football. Don't think they're an elite team this year. So, I think they'll finish out the season. The Auburn game at the end of the year is an interesting one. Could Auburn potentially pull off that upset? Don't think so. But, you know, Alabama's more beatable this year. There's no doubt about it. So I think what we're all expecting is that Alabama-Georgia game in the SEC championship game, and Alabama would need to win that to get in.
All right, let's move ahead. Let's talk about Georgia. They are the elite team. The remainder of their schedule, I mean, do you think that they can go unbeaten? They look formidable.
Yes, I do. I think at this point it really doesn't even matter who their quarterback is, as you know, that's kind of like the last little piece of this puzzle they're trying to figure out with Stetson Bennett and JT Daniels. And, you know, their defense is so good. They did lose their best defensive lineman, their best pass rusher, Adam Anderson, who will no longer be with them as he's been accused of rape, unfortunately. And so he was, he turned himself in yesterday in Athens. So they lose him. And, but the defense is really good, even without him, and their run game is really good. So, yeah, Georgia plays Tennessee, which could be an interesting game, but I obviously expect Georgia to win, and then they've got Charleston Southern and Georgia Tech to finish the regular season, and then, you know, all eyes on Atlanta for the SEC championship game.
Of course, coming up 2:30 on ESPN against Tennessee, how do you think this game's going to play out?
Yeah, I think, you know, kind of struggle with this game because Tennessee's hit a stride under Josh Heupel. Josh Heupel might end up being SEC Coach of the Year, and this offense is really explosive. They're averaging like high 30s, low 40s in terms of points per game, but it's just really different. Like, they go really, really fast. They run a bunch of weird kind of quirky formation. So, you know, it's just hard to replicate in practice for Georgia's defense this week what you're going to see live action outside Neyland Stadium. It's kind of like the triple option. It's just really hard to prepare for during the week because you don't see it much. So, you know, Hendon Hooker, the Tennessee's quarterback, who's been their quarterback, he transferred from Virginia Tech, has played outstanding after he took over week two, only two interceptions. So, I think Josh Heupel's done a tremendous job. You know, he took over for Jeremy Pruitt and limited scholarships and limited numbers. And it, I think it'll be a, you know, I think it'll be an early second half ball game. Obviously, I expect Georgia to kind of pull away from this, but the most points Georgia's given up this year is 13 to South Carolina. I think Tennessee will score more than 13 points.
So what is it like? I mean, you played quarterback at Georgia. When you go into Knoxville, what's it like playing Tennessee on the road? Because those fans could get crazy.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, you know, at times I enjoyed playing more on the road than I did at home just because, you know, it's just so fun. It's just different to go into an away stadium, and especially like Neyland Stadium. You know, you're talking about 100,000 screaming fans, and, you know, you end up learning Rocky Top pretty quickly. You have that memorized by halftime with us as often as they play it. But it's fun. It really is. I don't know if it's hard to explain, but, you know, at home you've got everybody kind of cheering for you and you've got full support. But then you go on the road and it's just, you know, it's just cool. It's you know, there's kind of an extra element of, like, proving people wrong when, you know, people are throwing golf balls and ketchup bottles at you in the stands and, you know, saying things about your mom and stuff like that. So I think it's a little more rewarding to win on the road than it is at home because, you know, it's tough to go on the road in the SEC and win. So, but, you know, that place is, it's deafening. I mean, you literally, you can't hear from, you know, the quarterback's position to your right tackle. Sometimes I remember asking my right tackle, hey, can you hear me? And if he could hear me, then, you know, we would keep going on the verbal cadence. If he couldn't, then, you know, that's when we would switch to kind of a silent count. So that's some of the things you got to deal with.
Absolutely. I've been there game day, too, for my son's recruit trip. Hey, college football analyst, ESPN, Hudson Mason with us, Sports Map Radio Network. Let's stay in the SEC. And what do you make of what is happening in Gainesville? What's going on in Florida?
Yeah, this is rock bottom for Dan Mullen. Obviously, having to fire his defensive coordinator and his O-line coach this week. And I think a lot of people expected Todd Grantham to get fired. I don't think a lot of people expected him to fire his O-line coach, John Hevesy, who's been with them since 2009. I mean, you know, as a play caller, your right-hand man is your O-line coach, and those guys go way back. So for him to have to fire not only one of his longtime coaching buddies, but just one of his longtime friends, I'm sure was really difficult for him. But I think it speaks to the desperation going on in the, you know, the urgency that he has to kind of at least optically show the fan base that he's trying to do something. You know, this is rock bottom for Dan Mullen. I can't imagine. I thought getting blown out by Georgia was close to rock bottom, but then losing to South Carolina and getting absolutely blown out was even more rock bottom. So, you know, I guess I sit here and I say this is rock bottom, but then I think about it, losing to Florida State at the end of the year would be even worse. And I don't think Dan Mullen's in trouble in terms of job security because he just signed that contract extension this offseason. But, you know, I think there's even more major changes coming this offseason. I think he'll probably have to end up revamping his whole coaching staff. And on top of that, you know, who's to say that a lot of these players that are committed right now are going to stick around and play for these coaches?
What does it take, Hudson, though, to win at Florida? I mean, they've had success in the past, obviously, with Spurrier and with Meyer.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could pose that question for all the coaches in the state of Florida right now. I mean, look at the big three. I mean, I can make an argument the best football program right now in Florida is UCF.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Miami's down. Yep. Florida State's an atrocity. Florida is a dumpster fire. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And it starts with they're not getting the top players in the state. I don't think right now Florida has any of the commitments from the top 15 players in the Sunshine State, which is just, you can't live and die. And you can't live in Florida and not have success recruiting your own home state. You just can't. And right now, a lot of those players are leaving. They're going out of state. So I think that's the fundamental problem with all three of the big teams in Florida right now. And, you know, for Dan Mullen, I think he's got to kind of look himself in the mirror and figure out if he really wants to recruit or not. And if he doesn't, then he needs to go to the NFL. He's never been a guy who loves recruiting, but that's the life breath of you, that's the lifeblood of your program. And so I think that's why there's a lot of rumors kind of starting to circulate about him wanting to jump ship and get to the NFL. you know, the transfer portal, this kind of new era of kids with name, image, and likeness and all these things have made it, you know, there's more headaches than there's ever been for coaches in college football. So, but at the same time, you get paid $6 million a year to deal with those headaches. I could deal with those headaches for sure. $6 million a year.
Absolutely. Hudson Mason, college football analyst, ESPN, does a great job based out of Atlanta, Georgia. Give him a follow on Twitter at HMason14. My final question for you is, let's hop over here and cross over into the Big 12 conference. Big game in Waco, Oklahoma is on the road. What do you think about the Sooners and the Bears?
Yeah, I'm worried about the Sooners. I really am.
Okay.
You know, I know they've made this transition to Caleb Williams, and you know, I just, when I watch them each week, this just isn't the same Oklahoma team. And they've looked better at times. I mean, they kind of struggle with Kansas even making that switch and transition to them. So I don't know if, like, they're 9-0. I think they're 9-0. It's like, is this the worst 9-0 team that you've ever or at least the worst 9-0 Oklahoma team? I don't know. Just, I can't pinpoint why they haven't been able to click. Some instability at the quarterback position hasn't helped, but I don't feel great about Oklahoma winning this one. Baylor's a good team this year, hitting their stride, playing at home. So it's kind of a coin flip game to me.
Well, and the schedule's not going to get any easier because they got to face the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and that game's going to be coming up as well. Listen, have a great call this weekend. Hudson Mason, check him out on ESPN. College football analyst, does a great job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. You can join us every Saturday, 10 to 12 Eastern. Always look forward to our next segment because you know what? We're going to tee it up. We're ready for some PGA news and notes. And how about the latest Cinderella story in golf? And that is Victor Hovland coming off his third PGA Tour win as he defends the Mayakoba title last weekend. Just continues to impress. He continues to stride out. And anxious to get our next guest thoughts. And that is former PGA pro, the great Larry Miller. How are you this weekend, Larry?
Great, great. Good morning. Yeah, great. I'm loving it. The weather's so, so good right now. So finally, after all those hot months, got some super golfing weather. But, yes, talking about Victor Hovland, he is fulfilling his promise. You know, we could almost see this coming a year ago. He was, you know, he on the cover of magazines and Golf Digest and is one of the, along with Morikawa, you know, and Matthew Wolf, you know, one of those rising stars. Well, he's really come to the forefront of all these guys and is really fulfilling that promise that he showed early on. Now, what's happening with him, his ball striking has been, you know, pretty much consistent, but when it's the putting. It's the putting with that new Ping putter he's got that is really turning things around in terms of winning golf tournaments. You know, it's one thing to contend and be high up on the list every week, but when you start winning multiple times, that's when you know, that you're doing something special. And he is doing something special on the greens with that putter.
If you are just joining us, you have dialed in to Sports Map Radio Network, the fastest 2 hours in radio. That is the Big E Sports Show, and I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Always look forward to our guest that we're visiting with right now, and that is the great Larry Miller. I always learn something new. He is an author, a former PGA pro, and you bet we are shining the spotlight on just an amazing young player, another young player on the PGA Tour, and that is Victor Hovland. And you nailed it, Larry, because we do often talk about his ball striking, but it was actually his putter that got hot. He piled up a number of 28 birdies last weekend. So, okay, help me out here. You know, what can you share about the Ping PLD putter? It was red hot.
Well, that PLD stands for Ping Lab Design, and what they're doing is that they are very they're getting very detailed about individualizing these putters. As far as the fitting goes, in the fitting, you know, fitting doesn't mean just length of putter, you know, and and the lie angle and all that. There's a lot more to it than that. You have to get the right loft on your putter in order to get the best roll on the greens. Now, what is a good roll on the greens? A good roll is when the ball starts tracking right away as soon as you hit it with that putter. It doesn't skip, you know, forward and then start rolling, or it doesn't kind of get up in the air a little bit and then start rolling. It sort of starts rolling right off the face of the putter. So you have to match. And you know, nowadays, we've got TrackMan for full shots that we use, of course, in really dialing in, clubs and shafts for individuals. But now they're doing it with putters, too. And there's something called the Sam's Putt Lab. That's one thing that they use, mm-hmm. which is computer driven, and it determines not only the best, you know, they know the best length. That's easy to figure. That's has to do with anatomy, basically, to figure out the length you need. And then the lie angle is easy too. It depends on how you set up to the ball. But what they're really dialing in is they're dialing in the exact loft that the putter, with your particular stroke, the exact loft that imparts that roll on the ball that makes it start tracking right away and rolling right away. That's what Ping's doing with the PLD. They're really getting specific with those details of individualizing the putter fit for each player. And so in Hovland's using a PLD Ping putter right now, 36 inches long. He's pretty tall. And
yeah, 5'10".
It's got 2.5 degrees loft, 2.5 degrees of loft. Now, Scotty Cameron, for instance, all their putters off the rack are from 3.5 to 5 degrees of loft. Hovland's using a 2.5 degree loft putter, which is very unusual. But obviously, the way he strokes the putter, that loft makes the ball start rolling right away. So that's what's going on with that PLD, Ping Lab design.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? It's not just available to tour players. You can go to a fitting center, whatever is in your area, and you can have them fit you to one of those putters and get it dialed in for your stroke.
Larry, you are, for our listeners, he's a former PGA pro, and we're just highlighting Victor Hovland. You know, 28 birdies, but what's the best putting performance that you have ever had? You ever had 28 putts in a round?
28?
Sure.
You mean, 28. Oh, yeah, I've had as low as 22, 23 putts in a round at some point.
Wow.
You know, but let me tell you, that's misleading, because a lot of times you can be 10 feet off the green, or even 5 feet or 3 feet off the green, and chip it up or putt it up there in one putt, and it's a one putt. You know, but you might be, you could be inches off the putting surface. But technically, it's a one putt, because they only count greens in regulation actually on the green. You can be 1 inch off of the green, and that's not a green in regulation. So then you putt it up there and tap it in. Well, it's a one putt. So it can be misleading.
Okay.
You know, if you're hitting a lot of shots into the fringes close to the edge of the green, you're going to have a low number of putts. But when you start making 15 and 20 footers, when you make 4 or 5 of those around, that's when you see these tour players going low with those 61s and 2s and 63s, and that's when you see Hovland making 28 birdies. You know, he's not just making short putts, he's making some 15 and 20 footers. And so there's so many great players now, and there's so many great ball strikers, that it really boils down to who in that particular week is going to make more of those, let's say, 12 to 25-foot putts.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever makes the most of those, they're going to win almost every week, because that's what it takes to win now as a hot putter.
We are up against the clock. It is an abbreviated segment with Larry Miller, former PGA pro. He's already out on this Saturday morning. He's teeing it up, having a good time. So, and we'll extend the conversation as far as, you know, how many times throughout your career. Next week, we got to talk about how many times in your career have you changed your putter, and what decision goes into, you know, switching putters, or, you know, making a gear change. So we'll talk about that next week. Have a great weekend with Connie, okay?
Okay, great. Everybody have one too, and we will improve your putting next week.
You bet. Much more coming your way here in Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
is the Big East Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. We are live on Twitter at eRadio Sports Info, eRadiosports.com, podcastarena.com, always bringing you each and every week a dynamic lineup. And you can go back and listen to all of our guests and take us anywhere, anytime. Download our app, Sports Map Radio. And the college football conversation, it's going to continue here in hour two. We are going to take time for a book review, but are your wiper blades, are they chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it is time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, in our next segment, we are going to power down just a bit. We're going to take time for a book review. It's one of my favorites. Just been released. It is titled, We Want Bama, A Season of Hope and the Making of Nick Saban's Ultimate Team. AL.com columnist is here with us to talk about it and break it all down. And that is Joseph Goodman. Good morning, Joseph.
Hi.
It is week 11 of the college football season, and your Crimson Tide, they face New Mexico State today at home. Countdown to kickoff, it's just around the corner. So what have we learned about this 2021 team?
Well, they are definitely not as good as last year, but that still doesn't mean that they're not good enough to win at all, I don't think. I mean, it's going to take a monumental effort to beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, but you know, you never know the way this college football season is going. There's been so many upsets. You know, it just seems like Georgia is, you know, a peg above everybody. But this Alabama team, you know, let's face it, Georgia hasn't beaten them since Kirby Smart has been in Athens. So, yeah, this team at Alabama, great defense, and they really showed up last week. There in the fourth quarter against LSU. Offense still needs some adjusting, and I don't think they're going to be able to beat Georgia without Bryce Young moving outside the pocket. So, you know, keeping him healthy is probably the biggest thing about this team, I would say, at this point. But, yeah, you know, you watch this team, and it definitely reminds you how good that team was last year.
So tell me about the offensive line, because we are all about protecting the quarterback.
Yeah, well, you know, they had some injuries last week, and that really showed up late in the game. They got some pressure on Bryce Young, and he really took some shots, you know, and he's not a very big guy. So the cohesion of the offensive line, extremely important for this team. And, you know, going up against that defensive line, I mean, I'm projecting here and looking ahead to the SEC championship game, and I probably shouldn't overlook Arkansas in 2 weeks. But that defensive line is so rugged for Georgia that this, you know, you have to think right now at this point, they could get overwhelmed. Alabama could by that line. So
Alabama will face New Mexico State this morning. Early kickoff. You talk about just Arkansas and Auburn. How this season is? We got two big games after this weekend. What's your level of concern?
Well, the Iron Bowl is going to be, in my opinion, a huge test for Alabama because it's extremely difficult for them to go in to Jordan here and win a game, even in a good year. I mean, this is a good year. Every year is a good year for Alabama. But Bo Nix is a different player. He's proven to be a different player at home, and he's already beaten Alabama one time as a freshman. So, yeah, that's going to be a great game. I think this is going to be a classic Iron Bowl. You know, Alabama will obviously be favored, but, you know, Auburn is in, usually, unless they play Georgia this year, Auburn is in every single game at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yes. Senior reporter, AL.com, Joseph Goodman, our special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. He has just released his first book. It is titled We Want Bama, A Season of Hope and the Making of Nick Saban's Ultimate Team. We're going to talk about that here momentarily. The Alabama Crimson Tide, they are ranked number two in the second edition of the college football playoff rankings. Joseph, how important are these rankings right now? Do they really matter?
I just hate the college football playoff. Yeah, the rankings, they don't matter. The only rankings that matter are the ones at the end. I mean, that's the easy answer. But the real problem is that this isn't actually a playoff. It's just like a beauty pageant or something. You know, it's like a select invitational tournament. It's not actually a national playoff. And until they expand it to at least 12 teams, really I think it should be 16, you know, then the postseason is going to be broken. And this is like the worst postseason in American sports, hands down, right now in college football. And it's affecting, you know, the entire product. They have a lot to figure out. And, yeah, you know, they got Cincinnati number five right now, whatever. You know, they like to say that the rankings work themselves out. But the biggest problem for me from, like, 10,000 feet, you know, is the fact that it is just excluding so, like, just such a ridiculously large percentage of the teams that should be included in the playoffs from the playoffs.
So what's the solution?
Yeah, in my opinion, it needs to be 16 teams. I think that would really add a lot of competitive balance across the board to college football. Right now you have a situation where all the best players are going to a select team amount of teams, you know, and then on top of that, you know, it seems like the committee definitely, you know, favors the elite teams over everyone else. So if you just open up the field to more teams, then, you know, obviously balance will return to the sport. But I think there's just a wildly dangerous imbalance right now in college football.
Author of We Want Bama, he is the senior reporter at AL.com. That is Joseph Goodman. Give him a follow on Twitter at Joe Goodman Jr. And we just talked about momentarily Alabama. They've got two SEC games remaining on the schedule after playing New Mexico State this morning. So what is the confidence level that the Crimson Tide will be one of those final four teams?
Yeah, you got to think that Alabama is still going to make the playoff at this point if they win out. Like I said, beating Georgia is not going to be easy, but Alabama should be favored against Arkansas. They should be favored against Auburn. They're not. I don't know. They might still be favored against Georgia. I don't really know. But that's going to be a huge test. If they lose to Georgia, two-loss Alabama ain't making the playoffs. You know, you could probably make a case that they should. And that's the thing. If there were 16-team playoffs, then maybe Alabama would have been in that. But nah. Two-loss Alabama is not going to be in.
We Want Bama, A Season of Hope and the Making of Nick Saban's Ultimate Team. It is available everywhere online and in bookstores. And 2020, as we look in the rearview mirror, it really was a unique season on many different levels in all sports. I mean, dealing with and navigating through this pandemic, kind of survival of the fittest. What did you want to share, what the team faced, the challenges that they faced from last season inside your book?
Just the fact that how this team came together and formed such a brotherhood. I mean, it was such a beautiful thing, the way that they came together in the summer of social justice and marched to the schoolhouse door and formed this brotherhood. And they were just determined that what they did before the summer was going to carry, they wanted to carry that message forever. And the way to do that was just to go out and win every single game and kind of solidify them as one of the best teams in college football history. And that's absolutely what they did, you know, and it was also under the backdrop of the biggest news event of our lifetimes, which was the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. There were so many players across the country who were opting out. No one opted out at Alabama. They had easily one of the best offenses that we've ever seen. They had three players who were in the top five of the Heisman voting, and Devontae Smith, the receiver, won it. Mac Jones, you know, now we see him playing for the Patriots. He emerged as just an incredible all-time Alabama quarterback. Najee Harris, running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, The guy was such a beautiful light into the season, his personality. But on the field, he just dominated, scored 28 touchdowns. Yeah, this was an incredible team, and they were incredible, just not off the, on the field, but also off the field as well. And one of the most important college football teams of all time.
You're listening to the voice, Joseph Goodman. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Joe Goodman. JR, he's the senior reporter at AL.com, author of his brand new book. It is titled We Want Bama, A Season of Hope and the Making of Nick Saban's Ultimate Team. And Joseph, just you're breaking it all down, talking about the 2020 team, just the chemistry, the commitment to one another, a really special season. You mentioned Mac Jones. Who knew he was going to go on and just have this incredible success? I mean, when we look at what has transpired over the past 12 to 15 months, I mean, it's like a Cinderella story.
Yeah, the thing about Mac Jones, and, you know, obviously this is in the book, but was the kid who was overlooked at Alabama for years. He came in with Tua. He didn't care about going into the same class with Tua. He didn't care that Jalen was ahead of him. He believed in himself. He had confidence in himself. He understood that what he needed to do was develop behind the scenes for his entire career until his senior year moment, okay? And he didn't transfer. He persevered. And when it was his time, he was ready, and he knew it, and he showed everybody. You know, you guys got to remember that at the beginning of the season in 2020, there were so many Alabama fans that wanted Bryce Young to start ahead of Mac Jones just because no one really believed in what Mac Jones could do. Well, Mac Jones definitely believed in what Mac Jones could do, and everyone on that team, you know, really got behind that quiet confidence of not only guys like Mac Jones, but also Devontae Smith, offensive lineman, Alex Leatherwood, and Landon Dickerson, Evan Neal. You know, these guys just went out and proved, you know, that a team could come together under such difficult circumstances and thrive despite all the challenges.
Joseph, have you had any conversations with Mac? I mean, I'd love to kind of hear the behind-the-scenes story as far as how did he know that his opportunity would come into fruition? I mean, why did he stay patient?
He believed in Nick Saban, and he believed in Nick Saban's process. I mean, it is that is exactly why. The story that the Jones family relayed to me before the 2020 playoff, and they were playing Notre Dame, and, you know, everyone was quarantined the entire season, but Nick Saban let everyone go home for Christmas before everyone went to Texas for the Rose Bowl, which is another reason why this was such an extraordinary season. They played the Rose Bowl in Texas. But so Mac Jones is in Jacksonville, Florida, and he's studying his playbook with his mask on in the family kitchen, and everyone is like, put it away. Come on, visit with us. It's Notre Dame. You're going to kill him. And Mac Jones went, like, got up on a soapbox and sounded like Nick Saban in the middle of his, like, family Christmas party about how he just started naming off every single player for Notre Dame and how great of a team Notre Dame was, and they couldn't, like, look past them. So, you know, Mac Jones just totally believed in everything that Alabama football was about, and you know that really helped him develop into the player that he needed to be.
We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break and then be rejoined by Joseph Goodman, the author of his new book, We Want Bama.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin the senior reporter for AL.com and author of his new book, We Want Bama. That is Joseph Goodman. How does Nick Saban do it year in and year out, just the sustained success that he continues to have?
It's no secret. It's not really. He's just extremely consistent. He's an extremely consistent leader. Is meticulous and organized. Every single day they do the same exact thing, and that's how they prepare. You know, he really gets everyone to buy in to that idea that it's not about the result, it's about how you get there. I mean, that's why he is who he is. Now, he's also an incredible recruiter. College football is all about recruiting, and Nick Saban is a great recruiter.
We want Bama, a season of hope. Only have time for one more question. What's really amazing and makes it such a compelling read is that it's not just about an extraordinary team, an extraordinary season. It goes beyond the X's and O's. Expound on that, Joseph.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is very much a sports, non-sports book. It goes into the complicated history of the state and how that all ties in. It's really, really through the lens of Alabama football in 2020. All the different elements of Southern culture that are wrapped around and tied into college football, you know, in so many different ways. This book explores a lot of themes, and it's really an entertaining read. Like, that's the way that I read it, and that's the way I wanted it to read and feel and have that energy and spirit. Definitely enjoy this book over the holidays. Definitely read this book with a beer or some bourbon in the hand, because it's a lot of fun.
Hey, you're promoting those adult beverages. Come on, Joseph. All righty. Hey, again, it's titled We Want Bama, A Season of Hope. Congratulations. This is Joseph's first book, senior reporter at AL.com. Well done. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, thank you.
That, of course, is Joseph Goodman, author of his new book, We Want Bama, senior reporter at AL.com. Check out his work online. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests and our lineup. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show, exclusively on SportsMap Radio Network.